something.
So anyway, the big warning, though, from this Life to Vec is, hey, make sure you're not using a bootleg site. Because people have been going on trying to find their website, okay. And they're going on to others and putting in their all their stuff, their calculations, their credit card information, anything else. And it's a bootleg. It's just some phony
somebody just
site.
Stealing your information.
Yeah, it's all fraud, stolen stuff, just like we see all the time, you know.
I didn't even think about that. I just thought it was a bootleg site telling everybody they're going to die tomorrow and see what happens.
Just to see what happens.
Hey,
no,
enjoy tonight.
Well, maybe they do that too, and then they bring you up.
Just chaos theory.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 7:13, Freeway Wars 2.0 continue tonight. That's as sexy as I can make it.
Freeway Wars. Wow. So 175. So this is the stretch north of the stadium interchange. So north of the stadium. They're north of the highway. So between Wisconsin and Lisbon is the area they're looking at. And today, the DOT, later this afternoon and into the evening, are going to hold a 175 reimagining hearing, essentially.
There's another word we ought to remove from nomenclature.
Reimagine.
Reimagining. Already overused. It's jumped the shark.
So they're basically going to have their people available for discussion of what could be done with this stretch. Do you keep it as is? When it needs to be rebuilt, or do you turn it into some type of boulevard? Do you add an opportunity to create development? Do you connect the park? You know what I mean? Do you kind of connect neighborhoods by reimagining that space?
This is a completely different discussion than what we're having about that 794 spur.
Agreed.
That connects the Marquette with the Hone Bridge.
Agreed.
Because this is a part of freeway that was never completed. The whole part of the stadium freeway was to, you know, back when the freeway system was originally, was initially imagined, before it could be reimagined, it was imagined that you'd have this stretch of freeway that connected the southern bypass with a northern bypass that was never built either. So you have this freeway that's always sort of been out of place and just kind of dead ends there at Lisbon and North, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge with this, though, is you have some areas that are elevated as you go over the valley there. And then some areas that are sunk way down
in a well, kind of. I don't see that part, the grading of this. I don't see how that would work. Obviously, I'm not a, I don't
not
do
a civil engineer.
I'm not a planner, yeah, no. So I wouldn't be able
well,
to
that's
that
question
out.
Number one is, okay, you want to bring this up to street grade. Like, can you even do that?
Yeah.
Where you get all that fill?
So
is that cost effective?
And obviously, one of the things that they're trying to do by having these reimagining meetings is that they want to make sure that people are listening and hearing that, and that they can listen back, too. Like, they want to make sure that there is, you know, cooperating as much as possible with the residents of the area to determine what to do best.
And it's coming to a four last point on this because you do have to rebuild the freeway between the Marquette and the zoo. That's happening.
Right.
And in conjunction with that, then what do we want this to look like? So let's at least take a step back and say, all right,
consider
before
options.
We just rebuild as is, what are we doing here? And that's what the meeting is tonight.
Right.
It's at Washington Park Senior Center if you want to go 4 to 7 p.m. 7:15, Wisconsin's Morning News. I got tickets to give away, E.
Ooh, that's right.
Wisconsin State Fair is coming up in just 3 months.
Yes.
And we've got tickets today to two of the headlining shows. Now, comedian Gabriel Iglesias opens State Fair on the main stage, presented by Potawatomi Casino Hotel on August 1st. So we've got a pair of tickets to see him.
If you like comedy.
That's right. And then we'll have more tickets to give away in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm not going to tell you which show.
Ooh, okay.
But that's coming up. We're giving away tickets all day today through all of our shows. But we got two pair. And this is to see comedian Gabriel Iglesias on opening night of Wisconsin State Fair. Caller number 5 to 855-616-1620 on the WTMJ Talk and Text line wins the pair.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Do or die tonight for your Milwaukee Bucks. Game 5 of their first-run NBA playoff series. Bucks and Pacers. The Bucks down right now 3-1, so they got to win out.
Ugh.
They lose, the season is over. Both
let's get
Giannis,
past tonight.
Yeah, that's it. Let's win tonight.
Right, yeah.
Giannis and Dame are both doubtful for tonight. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Laurie Nickel told us that, you know, we're at that point, though, like where the coach has been saying he's practicing, he's doing things, or at least he's standing and walking and with the team.
Giannis passed the 2-week window with that soleus calf strain, But I don't know that that means anything.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't. He's still doubtful. Nothing to suggest he's playing tonight, nor Dame Lillard. It's a late one. 8:30 tip tonight. Our coverage begins at 8 right here on WDTMJ at 5 Surf.
How Midwest is that? 8:30 tip. Woo! That's a late one, folks. Jeez.
Fine. Fine.
I'm right there with you. Bucks and Pacers, midnight tonight.
It might as well be.
Brewers and Rays again tonight at American Family Field. This is more our taste. 6:40 is the first pick. There you go.
Perfect.
Before 7 o'clock. Wrap up supper and then watch the ball game.
Yeah. Head on out.
For the second sort of day after here, we're dealing with a controversial call that changed the game.
Here it is. Swing and a foul.
So what had actually happened, thanks you, the Brewers are down 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth here. Runner on third. Jake Bowers swings and misses, strike three, but the ball gets by the catcher. So what you heard was not a foul tip. It was Bowers' bat striking the catcher's helmet on his big backswing. But the ball had already passed by the catcher, hence the controversy. Sal Frelich thought he'd scored from third. The umpires ruled interference. Bowers would be out. Dead ball, that means Frelich has to go back to third. And I think Adames was on first, he'd moved to second, he goes back, or he was on second, moved to third. Nonetheless, Nobody can advance. That's the ruling. Manager Pat Murphy arguing the call. He gets tossed out. 2 days in a row, he thought the umps got it wrong.
Of course, you're frustrated. You know, really, you're frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but you can't let yourself do it for too long. It happened, you know. We put ourselves in that position, but when that does happen, there's a lot of one-run games. When that does happen, you want them to get it right. And I believe 100% they got it wrong, according to what I just read in the rule.
And guys are literally reading the rule book to go back over right. What's happened the last couple of days to the crew. Brewers dropped their third straight. Same two teams tonight, 6:40, first pitch at American Family Field. And manager Pat Murphy joins us live for Brewers 360 at 7:45. Live with us this morning on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline, this morning, Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky. Niz, enough with the rain already. God.
I know, right? Bottle it up, save it for July. Wouldn't that be
right? Right, when we have exactly this conversation. Starting in to get a little dry out there, Niz.
Getting a little dry, but now, I mean, the opposite. Can't get out there. A little too wet. You know, you just don't want to make the tracks in the ground and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I agree. We've had quite a pattern here and it looks like it continues.
So what do you see for the rest of the week? Next time I see any showers in the forecast this morning, looks like Thursday.
Yeah. Or,
sorry, tonight as well.
Yeah. So tonight, it's going to be an interesting, it'll be interesting tonight. So we're going to see probably some severe stuff develop across Iowa and Minnesota, but it's all indication that it'll be one of those things where we're staring down, oh man, that looks pretty rough. When's that going to get here? And the majority of it is going to either weaken or completely fizzle out. So what I think we end up with after 10 o'clock tonight is a round of some showers, maybe a rumble of thunder somewhere. I'm not expecting any severe weather, and the rainfall in general should be pretty light.
Boy, Niz, some of the stories we're seeing from down south, just crazy numbers. I think I saw like a triple-digit number of tornadoes that were reported over the weekend from south all the way up to north and just rolling through there. Some of those areas still getting hammered.
Yeah, there was a day, I'd have to try to remember exactly what day it was, but when Oklahoma had, just the state of Oklahoma had more than 25 tornadoes in one day, and most of those were not like your little EF0s. A lot of them were EF2s to all the way up to EF4. It was a nasty day there. And then there was another day when obviously Nebraska got it, the Lincoln area and Omaha. One thing that stuck out to me is while other parts of the country, the deep south and even farther north in the Midwest and over towards the Ohio Valley have seen their share of tornadoes, Tornado Alley has actually had, I guess what you could say, a tornado drought. Over the past decade or so, it hasn't been as active as what they typically could see. So they were due, and they've certainly been getting it.
Hey, Niz, too, the difference between and I don't want to get overly technical, but like an EF4 versus something that we're much more likely to see. It's not unheard of here in Wisconsin. We've had fours and fives, but you know, usually we're in the ones and twos on the stronger end for Wisconsin. Difference between that and something like a four, which they had in that Oklahoma area.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's the difference between a couple tree limbs down, maybe a little shingles off your roof, to your house completely demolished. And if you're not underground, you're probably not alive. So, I mean, it's drastically different. Now, thankfully, especially here in Wisconsin, the vast majority, if not like 80 to 90% of our tornadoes are EF0s, the EF1s. But now, again, like you said, we have had our share. You know, let's say in a given year, you know, we have 30 tornadoes in the state. You know, 25 of those are EF0, the EF1s, and then the other five are ones that are destructive, you know, that can kill people. So we have, you know, obviously got to treat every tornado serious. But yeah, there is a huge range, and you clearly see that in the destruction that we saw over the weekend.
I appreciate the update, Niz. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Niz.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll see you later.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy, our guest on Brewers 360, coming up at 7:45.
Hey, remember when we told you about this? It sounds funny to say it this way, but I will. This AI death calculator. Basically,
it doesn't sound very funny at all.
Life to Vec. Just sounds like kind of uncomfortable to even say death calculator. Anyway, they invented this using ChatGPT and other AI to basically foretell or dictate when someone may perish using a specific amount of data.
So, and you plug in your data.
Correct.
Tell them about this, family history, stuff like that.
And they've been right about 78% of the time. And this isn't like necessarily something that's only used by just people who are curious about their own future, but also like insurance companies use these algorithms too when they're figuring out plans.
Sure, that's why they ask you all the questions when you buy life insurance or something.
So anyway, the big warning though from this Life to Vec is, hey, make sure you're not using a bootleg site, because people have been going on trying to find their website and they're going on to others and putting in their all their stuff, their calculations, their credit card information, anything else, and it's a bootleg. It's just some phony.
Somebody just
site.
Stealing your information.
Yeah, it's all fraud, stolen stuff, just like we see all the time, you know.
I didn't even think about that. I just thought it was a bootleg site telling everybody they're going to die tomorrow and see what happens.
Just to see what happens.
Hey, enjoy tonight.
Well, maybe they do that too, and then they bring you up.
Just chaos theory. You know, something seems to come over people.
So as always, make sure, no matter what you're interested in looking at and paying for online, that you do a little research of that website.
Need the euchre right there. .com. I'm .com-ing right now.
That's right.
7:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. At 7:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News, we've got Brewers manager Pat Murphy, our guest on Brewers 360, coming up in just a few minutes. I want to set the stage for you, though, so we don't have to do it when we got Murph on the line, because he was there. But in case
he saw it up close.
In case you missed the end of the Brewers game, I want to set up a scenario where we had another controversial call. Manager Murphy said the umps got it wrong. In fact, he was willing to get thrown out for it, arguing his case. So here's the controversial call. I'll let Jeff Levering tell it on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Gets by the catcher. Here comes Frelick to the plate. And they are saying an out is recorded, and they're going to send Frelick back to third. Are they going to say that the backswing got Pinto?
They are going to say that. They did say that. So what had happened was Jake Bowers is at bat for the Crew. The Brewers are down 1-0. It's the bottom of the ninth. Tying run, and Sal Frelick is on third base. Bowers swings and misses. Ball gets by the catcher. Frelick appears to score. That's why you heard the big cheer. And then the boos after, because Bowers' backswing contacted the catcher in his helmet. Thus, the umpires ruled it a dead ball, so no runners can advance. That's the cleanest way I can describe to you what happened. There are some intricacies in the rule that leaves it open to the umpire's judgment. Their judgment did not go our way.
Again.
And Brewers lose 1-0. So we'll talk to manager Pat Murphy about that next on Brewers 360.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Giannis and Dame are doubtful for tonight's must-win Game 5 for your Milwaukee Bucks. They're down 3-1 in the opening round of the NBA playoffs. It's a late tip tonight. Well, not that late. Tip off is 8:30. Our coverage here
on WDTMJ. It's late Midwest time.
Yes. 8:30 tip at Fiserv Forum, 8 o'clock right here on WDTMJ.
And Brewers and Rays, it's a 6:40 first pitch tonight at American Family Field. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And this morning we have the manager, Pat Murphy, on the line with us. Morning, Murph.
What's up, guys?
So, look, you've had time to now go back, I imagine, and review the controversial play and call. You've literally read the rule book again, which I can't imagine you thought you'd be doing twice in two successive days. Still think the umps got it wrong last night?
Yeah, I do. I do. I got all respect for the umpires, believe me. I've been doing this a long time, and they've got a very difficult job. But to interpret that rule that way, like unequivocally, it had nothing to do with the play. We score the run easily. The ball's back at the backstop. We have a man on third. The guy's safe at first. We got one out, man on third. There's a really good chance we're going to win that game in the bottom of the ninth. For them to make that call and then be so adamant about you have to call it that way, it had nothing to do with him missing the ball. That he had already had the ball had already been past the catcher, and then the backswing just touched the catcher's helmet. So that didn't impede him from anything. I think it was poor.
How does that rule work, Skip? So if the bat were to hit the catcher's glove, that would be the catcher's fault, but on the backswing, if the bat hits the catcher in the back of the head, that's on the batter?
Well, yes. Yes, that's the way it is. That's another rule that has to be changed.
Yeah, tell him to get his head out of there.
Well, I mean, he was trying to go forward to block the ball, and then the guy, and he missed the, it was a wild pitch, so it's not all on the catcher, but the ball's way past them at the time the backswing happened, and it didn't. The catcher didn't stop from going back. He hit off his mask, and it happens all the time. But technically, they got to send him back. So we got beat on a technicality.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy, our guest on Brewers 360 this morning. That said, Murph, you only had three hits last night, and I know, you know, you're telling your club every night, yes, that was a part of it, and in this particular case, a very critical part of it, but could have done more to help yourself on the front end.
Well, the kid that pitched against us was very, very good. If you're bearing down on Ryan Pepiot, this kid was he was lights out. He's an up and coming star, and he had a great game. Our offense has got to be better, but we got a lot of babies in there. We got a lot of first year players, a lot of rookies. We got a lot of injuries. You know all that. So to be where we are right now, I'm not satisfied. But to be in the position we're in with you know, the circumstances we're under is like MLB has called it. Like, how's this happening? How are these guys doing? It's a credit to our players, the way they're conducting themselves and the way they're going about it. And they're just not going to be denied what anybody else can think we're going to be average. But these guys are making it difficult on the prognosticators.
Good. Yeah, Murph, I was wondering about that. You talked about the babies, you know, sometimes a younger kid or a younger player can get frustrated easily and annoyed whether, you know, things aren't going their way at the plate or when a couple of different calls go different ways. You're a big proponent of next day, move up, next day, here we go. You've had to exercise those muscles quite a bit the last few days, it seems.
Actually, right during this radio show, I'm exercising those muscles. Because, you know, it's a hard one to swallow, but you got to get up and wash it off and be ready to win tonight somehow. And nobody cares how injured you are. Nobody wants to hear your sad story. They just want you to go and compete. And you do. You have to pull your socks up and say, let's go. Let's compete somehow. Nobody cares about how young you are, or how injured you are, or, you know, what your obstacles are. Just be ready to compete. And that's one thing these guys have done. They are most every game this season, they're in the ninth inning. So I'm proud of that.
Well, and on a bright note, give you a chance to brag on Bryce Wilson and his job pitching last night. I mean, he's out there, he gives up a run in the first, and then gives you six strong through. That's a quality start.
Yeah, it was. He did a great job, and we need more of that. But again, Bryce was coming into the season as a multiple inning reliever, and then to have him be one of the mainstays in our staff now is a great testament to him stepping up. And he did. He came up big last night, kept us in the ballgame. That kid was shoving on us. But all in all, we did what we had to do to be in position to win the game. And didn't happen. Didn't go our way.
Brewers once again with the Rays tonight, 6:40 first pitch at American Family Field. Thanks, Skip.
Thank you. You guys.
7:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We got Mark Tauscher joining us next.
Idea Man.
If she wants to lip sync, you see that at the Super Bowl. I would much rather them lip sync than cancel the show.
Innovator.
Especially Madonna's like 60-something, isn't she?
And Packers Hall of Famer.
So you have a duty to deliver the goods at the time that your group set, and if you don't, shame on you.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services. Tausch, news today that the NFL is going to allow players the option to wear something that fans might remember seeing from video in training camp. These protective coverings that go over the helmet called the Guardian Cap, and it's apparently providing an extra layer of protection against head injury. But the player has the option as to whether he wants to wear that in regular season games. Think we're going to see a lot of those or no?
I don't. I think guys are very cautious about changing things up, and I know there was a lot of pushback initially just at practice using them, but I think the league has wisely been very pro, you know, pushing safety initiatives because obviously the lawsuit from, you know, back when I played and all of the ramifications of that. So they're trying to make it the safest way they can. But I just know, and I think you could look at hockey in the fact that all the kids use these big shields, right? They have the face mask with the bars on it so a puck doesn't bust their teeth. And then you go ahead and watch an NHL game, nobody is wearing it. So I think practicing is one thing, but there will be some guys that will be looking at it and saying, I don't know what these Guardian caps weigh. If it's 5 ounces, if it's 8 ounces, there's going to be some guys that are going to say, well, that's going to slow me down too much. I can't use that. And it's still going to be, can I produce and play as well as I can if I'm wearing this Guardian cap? And I don't know if the research has come out, how much that limits, because for as much as I want this to be a safe sport and everything else, I don't necessarily know if I'm wearing a Guardian cap, if it goes down 4%, yeah, that's great. But is that going to be worth the squeeze for these players? I would think, especially veteran players, I don't think they're going to jump on and embrace this.
So it wouldn't be because of the look of them looking kind of silly or anything like that. It'd be more because there's a weight to them.
So I think for some guys, I can only speak for myself.
Sure.
I wouldn't give two rips. If I had to wear concrete boots and I knew that would make me play better, I'd do it. It was not that. I was not the look good, feel good, play good guy, because if that was the case, I never would have played good. It's more, I'm not, you know, all that other stuff. It's comes down to guys want to look good. They have their way that they want to do things, and I don't think most of it envisions a Guardian cap. But now with that said, if you can get creative with it and you can make it your own, which I don't think the league is going to do, I think the league is going to put a G. If you're a Packer, you're going to probably get a big old G on that Guardian cap, and they're going to try to figure that piece of it out. But it just comes back to players are very neurotic. We are very structured. And whenever you do something to throw people off, changing pants and uniforms and then having to get a different colored face mask within that uniform scheme threw everybody off. So, again, you can adjust. And if there's the science behind this that tells you, yeah, this is going to help save a ton of people's concussion, I think younger players will embrace it, but I don't think veterans will.
You mentioned hockey, Tausch. I'm old enough to remember going to Admirals games when I was a kid. There were cats out there with no helmet. But they were grandfathered in after helmets were required.
But ultimately,
I'm good.
Ultimately, they had to all make the transition, though.
Yeah,
right?
I just remember, like, can you imagine playing hockey, no helmet?
And some people were saying that the NFL would be safer because, you know, especially in the 90s, guys were leading with that face mask, and they'd get the big bars, and they'd lead, and they'd say, well, if you take that out of it, I never was a believer that playing in leather helmets is going to be safer than playing in regular old helmets. But from the hockey standpoint, yeah, guys, and to this day, I still look at it and I wonder, guys are just wearing a visor, nothing around their face. I'm thinking, why would you not do that? And you talk to hockey people and they say, yeah, that's never going to change because the vision and what. But I think it's more the look, because who wants to get their teeth busted in? Well, the answer is hockey players. I think they love that part of it. Football guys, I think they do care about the fashion of it. They care about how they look. But I do think in the long run, if there's going to be, hey, this is going to help you, this is going to help you stay on the field, this is going to not eliminate concussions, but it's going to limit and bring that number down, guys need to play. That's how you make money. And if this is going to allow you to do that, I think you're going to see maybe at some point the league is going to have to mandate it if those numbers come back and say it's going to make the game a lot safer.
That day's coming when Gruber Law Offices sponsors a logo that goes on the protective helmet. Then all of a sudden they'll be mandatory.
That's crazy, right? But I would think the NFL, you could say a lot about the NFL. They know how to monetize better than anybody.
Thanks, Tausch.
You bet, guys. How's about cooking something up with me?